You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
In verse 27 of chapter 8, and when they had stepped out on the land, there met them a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time and who wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. So he just kind of roamed around the graveyard, basically. Modern idea. Just wandered around the graveyard and lived there. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him and kept him under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, knowing that this is their ultimate destination. There's a whole lot in here that we aren't going to spend a ton of time on, but man, there's a lot regarding demonology and the reality of demon possession and all of this. There's a lot in here, and their ultimate destination. We can see here that the demons now were driving this guy out into the wilderness, but for separation, you know? And to destroy. Jesus was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and was tested there, you know, but it was to reveal who he is. It was more of a, this is what Jesus is wanting to do when he's testing you. He's really wanting to reveal who he is to the world around us. There's no doubt. That's one of the aspects of it also. He's wanting to show who the Son of God is in your life. Absolutely. It's not about you. This is the biggest bummer that happens with us in our modern world and pretty much humanity, period. It's not just our modern world, but it's certainly emphasized in our modern world. You know, things just aren't really about you. It's good to look in the mirror and just tell yourself that. You know, this really isn't all about you. Because everything just gets so self-absorbed and we're just so indulgent, you know? Do you ever get just sick of yourself? I'm being serious. You ever just go, "Oh my gosh," you know? You everything you think about has to do with you and where you're going to eat and what you're going to do and who you're going to hang out with and what's going to go on next and what, you know, just, you know? You just want to get out of yourself. And you can by hanging out with Jesus. Jesus says, man, just self is not what it's all about. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, you know? So clear. There's so much in here about demonology, and we really don't have a lot of time, but they knew their ultimate destination. And so that's important to know. They knew who Jesus was. They recognized him. They knew he had power and authority over them. Just think through some of those things. They recognized who he was, the demons, the legion, the thousand that are inside this guy. Recognize who he is. Hey, man, you know, don't send us to the abyss. They know that's their ultimate destination even. There's a lot that the demons do know. And they even recognize who God is. But Jesus has power and authority over them. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there in the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Yes, many jokes are running through my mind, but I will refrain. No deviled ham jokes, none of that's going to. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what had happened. All the people that had heard, they'd gone out, see what had gone on, and they came to Jesus and found the man who the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Interesting, their response, don't you think? I find that interesting.
You know, that one, this should be a joyous occasion, right? Man, this guy's got his clothes on. That's exciting enough. That's a positive thing.
You know, the guy's dressed, so that's good. And then he's sitting there and he's sane. He's got his right mind right now. So this is really good stuff. But their response interests me. And they were afraid. Who was this that had entered into their community? Who was this that's changing things up? And so this guy, if he's God, we're being exposed for who we are too. Because you see, there's not supposed to be any pigs there. They're not supposed to raise swine. It's not lawful. They're not supposed to be doing that. And they know it.
And they're convicted. And the conviction brought fear.
They were fearful. Whoa.
Now, just step back for just a moment and think about your interaction with people that don't know the Lord. Just step back and just think about this. When God's doing something in your life, when God's delivered you from something, when God's doing something in you and through your life, and people that don't know the Lord, there is a conviction just simply with your presence. Just with your presence being there. And it brings about a little bit of a fear in them. Not of you. Again, what does this have to do with? Not you, right? So this has to do with Jesus. Jesus in you is bringing conviction upon their lives. This is why they say to you, oh, wow, well, you know, so now you're holier than thou and you're all, you know. Well, hopefully you're not coming off that way. It's a good double check for you. There's nothing wrong with checking up on that. But hopefully that's not what's going on. Hopefully it really is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God as it comes around. Sometimes it can bring these kind of things. And what's our role? To diffuse that and to show them that they too can have faith in Jesus Christ. They too could come to know the Lord. Look at how this plays out. They also had seen it, told them, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. They said, hey, this is what happened. It is also interesting to me that they were a little bit... we're supposed to be entirely in sync with eternity when someone gets saved, when someone gets made right, right? If someone gets into their right mind, they come to know Jesus Christ. All of Christendom and so on, we should just be thrilled beyond belief. You know, we should be in sync with all of eternity. How in sync were these people with anything that had to do with that? One, they're raising pigs that they're not supposed to. And the other thing is they had a big loss of revenue that just went off the cliff. Their economy just went bad. Right? Isn't that what happened? Their whole economy just went bad. And you look at this, man. They were much more concerned about all of what's happening with their economy than really the fact that this man was made well, that he was healed. Complete perspective. Please, stay with me on this thought. You and I need to make sure we've got a right perspective of what's going on around us. God is allowing all kinds of things to happen all around us. I won't go into any swine flu jokes. I won't do any of that because it's not funny. But then the whole multitude of the surrounding or our economy issues. It is serious. I understand all of this stuff is very serious. But what's your perspective on it? Who are you trusting? Where's your faith? Do you know that God's really ultimately in control of all this? That's what's great. God's ultimately in control. That's what a great thing to know. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. They don't want him around? What does he do? They don't want him around, and what does he do? Read through the first few chapters of Revelation. They don't want him around, and what does he do? You know, this is an important concept for you and me. You know, I want to invite Jesus to continue daily to be around. I know he lives with me. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. But I want to recognize and acknowledge his presence.
I want to invite the interaction. I want a dialogue. Jim, don't pause too long on that station. Just keep clicking through. That's real for every one of us. Don't pause too long. There's nothing good on that. Keep clicking. Those kind of things are very real. And do you invite Jesus into your interaction? Wow, my response maybe wasn't really very appropriate in that situation. Wasn't very loving. Wasn't very Christ-like. Jim, maybe you need to tune in a little bit. Maybe you need to get that right. That wasn't really a right response, and you know that didn't represent me. It wasn't loving. And then do something about it. I'm being real practical because Jesus is really practical. The Word of God's really practical. It meets us right where we're at to help us to grow and develop. He got into the boat and he left. He returned to where he was. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things Jesus had done for you. You know, I think verse 39 should be highlighted, circled, asterisks all around it, because that's what you and I should be doing. Every day, that's what we should be doing. Man, God is doing things in your life every day. It's a matter of, are we acknowledging? You know, he doesn't even trust your breathing to you. It's all held in his hand. He didn't even trust that to you. It's better if he's trusted with that. You know, are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for the gift of life today that you have, not only on this earth, but the fact that you have everlasting life? Oh, man, what an exciting thing. For each one of us, this concept that, man, return. Just wherever you go, whatever you're doing, man, proclaiming the good things that God has done for you. You may say, well, you know, I feel like I've been kind of dealt a bad hand. Really? Really? Rethink it. God's grace showered upon our lives, that he's made himself known to us, that we can have a personal relationship with him, that he's given us everlasting life, that he's given us an abundant life even here and now. What a great thing that God has done. So Jesus kind of reveals the fact that not only does he have authority and power over the demonic forces, but that there's no need to be freaked out and be gripped with fear, but that faith can be victorious in all of these things. They were to trust, you and I are to trust Jesus in situations, even in the realm of the deep things of the spirit, the demonic forces and so on. So important for us. Then he goes on in verse 40, another situation. How are the disciples going to respond to all of these things? They're observing, watching, seeing how all of society responds to this, you know? And they're supposed to be soaking all this in. Now they get to another situation. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. Interesting that a ruler of the synagogue would come to Jesus. I think that's interesting. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. Why? For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. This guy's, you know, driven to his knees at the foot of an itinerant preacher, Jesus, who wasn't even, you know, somebody that seemed very radical and everything. Radical situations require radical measures, don't they? When it's your little child that's in desperate need, you see, you're going to respond. You're going to do anything. You'll plead with anyone that might bring help. You see, I love this. I love the desperation. I love the fact that that's our should be our position before desperate. We sing that, I'm desperate for you. Really? Man, I think if we're really desperate for the Lord, man, that's life-changing. This guy, all caution to the wind, man. He's just, he just goes to this guy publicly. Look at what happens next. Now, there's two events happening simultaneously. I know Jesus is the ultimate multitasker, ladies. You don't have anything on him. He is the ultimate multitasker. All this big crowd now, as they went, there is a multitude that thronged him in the latter part of verse 42. So we've got Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. He comes. He's got a 12-year-old daughter who's dying. He's desperate. He approaches Jesus. He falls at his knees, and he's wanting Jesus to do something. He's heard of the healing and what Jesus has done. And hey, you know, he wants to see if this can happen for his. He's desperate. I love that. And now a woman having, and he's enjoyed all this, 12 years of kids' laughter and all the excitement of you know, this wonderful little life and daddy, 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 and, you know, all this great stuff. And it's all coming crashing down on him, you know? Now, look at this next verse 43, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She's desperate also. And for 12 years, she's been suffering. Total different scenario, isn't it? 12 years, she's been suffering. 12 years, this guy's been having a great time with his daughter. But both are in desperate need of help. So it doesn't matter. You could be on any side of this. And I think that's a good example. Any part of faith in this. And we're going to reach out still by faith for hope and help. To trust Jesus to do a work. She had spent everything she had trying to get well, but none of them could help her. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. So much to think through. As she's completely outcast from all of society. You know, we've gone through the law and these things. She's completely an outcast. She can't go to worship. She can't go to the temple to worship. Think about this. Jairus had all of the opportunity to do all that. She couldn't even go in and do that. And her circumstances are all of society has ostracized her. She's just stuck out there. So she's really taking a big risk even going into a crowd like this. Even getting up and you know, getting out physically was a lot for her. And yet she, by faith, is getting up out of that spot and coming to where Jesus is to meet up with Jesus. This whole idea of as she touched the hem of his garment, that border, you remember what the border of the garments were on them? They were that blue that was woven in. And at the base, and it was to represent heaven. This was woven in at the bottom, and it's to represent a heavenly, you know, idea, the fact that this is not home. Ultimately, we're part of another destination. And so this is all woven around the base. And she touched him. Now, this is touching that wasn't the healing thing, right? We can get this idea that, oh, well, it's that. We got to just get some blue garment. Like, oh, God, you know, that's not what it's all about. It was about the fact that it was a point of contact for her, a point of release, a place where she could release her faith, where she said, man, if I could just get to that place, I know I might not be able to touch him, but as close as I can get to reach out and touch him. Do you think that way? Do we think like that? I want to do everything I can to just get as close as I can to touch Jesus, just to touch him. Think about what touches Jesus' heart. You being here right now, Jesus gathers with us. He wanders in our midst. And all we have to do is reach out and touch him. He's there. He's there with us. Absolutely, he's here right now. And from our hearts, we just have to reach out and touch Jesus. Are we really seeking him? Or are we seeking, we're concerned about, well, I wonder what so-and-so's thinking about me right now. You know? Who cares? It's not about you, remember? You keep forgetting. It's just not about you. Man, just start thinking, man, I want to see Jesus. I want to just embrace the Lord. Because, you know, one day we'll close our eyes, we'll breathe our last, we'll be face to face. You ever thought of what it's going to be like just to touch his face? You ever thought about what that would be like to touch
the face of our Savior? Or what about this? To have our Savior reach out
with the hole in his hand and touch you with that love. What a powerful thought. This is ours as followers of Jesus Christ. This is ours to enjoy, to experience by faith, to just receive from him all that he has for us.
Two very distinct, different situations. Jesus said, "Who touched me? What's going on? Who touched me?" He sensed the power come out from him. He sensed the release. He sensed the release of that healing touch upon her life.
When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master," the disciples just go, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' Are you kidding me?" Look at what realm they're in. Look at what realm we're in, you know, sometimes. What do you mean, you know, that I can just reach out and touch the Lord? What do you mean? You see, by faith, this is all ours. He's here. He wants to minister. He wants to love on you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to meet you right where you're at, whatever your struggle, whatever your issue, whatever's happening, he wants to touch you as you reach out to touch him by faith. And Jesus said, "Somebody touch me, for I perceived power going out from me." You know, even though she was probably pretty bummed out, pretty depressed, pretty bummed on life, ostracized from the community and so on, can't go really and get involved in any public worship, she still sought out time to go spend with, to find Jesus and to be with Jesus. You ever think about that for yourself? Seek out that time, seek out those moments that you can be with Jesus, that you can touch him, that you can interact with him. And she sought out that opportunity. He was coming through and she was going to get there one way or the other. This gal couldn't be hidden. Her life couldn't be hidden any longer. She came trembling and falling down before Jesus in verse 47, about midway. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She declared publicly what Jesus has done for her. And she said to all those, even in the group that she wasn't even supposed to be there, she declared to them that Jesus had healed her, had touched and ministered to her.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. "Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen."
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.